I'm Tarek, I'm an addict.
Hey, Tarek.
So Mike asked me to do a little introduction, so I get to introduce one of my best friends. He's my longest running friend since I got here. That's the last time. I guess 2008, early 2008, I met Mike, and we just have stayed in touch, and Mike left for a while, and we stayed in touch, and now he and I we compare notes on a regular basis, and we have a lot of fun with it, and I have so much respect for him, and I love him like a brother, and I'm not going to take any longer because it's late, so here's Mike.
Yeah, Mike, I'm an addict and an alcoholic.
Hey, Mike.
I find it kind of funny that Tarek says that it's late, and he's the one that scheduled this damn thing. Anyway, great job, Danielle. I feel like I don't really need to qualify myself at all, because I clearly, I married her, and I did all that stuff. And, it's funny, I was thinking about all the things she said I did at the end to, like, try and help her, and now it's like if she asks me to take out the trash, I'm like, fuck her, it's funny how things change. I honestly, I have no idea what I'm going to talk about. I've kind of reached this place where I do not identify much with my own story anymore. It just seems like a different life. So it's kind of interesting hearing Danielle talk about it, because I don't ever think about it. It doesn't ever occur to me. I do a lot of step work. I sponsor a lot of people, and I'm constantly kind of engaged in that way, but so little of it is about the actual time I spent using. Most of it's about, my headspace now, and kind of how it used to be, and how, kind of where it is now and how I got there, and the things that used to totally wind me up, and how they've kind of fallen off in a sense. I was talking to my dad on the way home from work today, because he's going out of town, and I told him Danielle and I had come speak at this thing for 45 minutes, and what do you talk about for 45 minutes or whatever, So you just tell him your story, and I was like, yeah, and I was like, you talk about the steps, and I forget what exactly he said, but it made me think that it's like you talk about how you get sober, and I got sober doing the steps, and the steps put me on a path and the path went a lot further than the steps. And I think that's a really good way to explain it. It's like it's the only thing that ever worked for me. I tried everything I could. I always got brought back out. But the steps were the launching pad that gave me the life I have now. And the life I have now does not recognize the old life, and the old life wouldn't recognize the new life. And most of it has been done by allowing it to happen and to just unfold. I try not to force anything, I work the steps, I took suggestions, I did what everyone else does that gets sober and stays sober, and then I continue to do the things that it says, and I continue to try to progress along a spiritual path, I continue to try to look inside more, take responsibility. I'm kind of naturally seeking along the path, and in just doing that, my life has changed dramatically. And so I've gotten a lot of things that I would have probably tried to force to happen in the past. I'm married, I have a family, I have a house, I have a good job. Everything's just pretty good, you know. But I didn't like force any of that to happen. And some of it happened really quickly, and it was kind of crazy. A lot of it all happened in 1 year. But it's amazing to me that if I just get out of the way and I keep doing the work, that just everything that'll occur. I think so much of this path is staying on the path. So I got on this path when I first met Tarek about, I don't know, I guess that was around 2008. And at the time, you know, I was really at one of those places where, you know, it wasn't working. I was desperate. You know, I'd been in and out of treatment since I was 15, so I wasn't a stranger to these rooms, and I knew everybody already. I knew where to go, and I finally, you know, I was done. I was surrender, and I got sober, and I did work the steps, but it was kind of more run-of-the-mill AA, nothing too special, really. But I did work the steps. You know, I had a sponsor, and that really is the key. I mean, okay, if you're new, get a sponsor. Do what they say, you know. Go to meetings and go through the steps rather quickly. That's it. That's what I did, but I think at about 1 year sober, maybe a little longer, I started to kind of get that knot in my stomach again. I was restless, irritable, discontent. And I think it just kind of started to eat at me. And Carl was my good friend, and we somehow got this guy Scott to come down and speak for his, I think it was his 2-year chip or something. And this guy Scott spoke, let me back up. I listened to this Mark Houston tape. And it was just like the first time someone was talking to my internal condition in recovery. So it's like all the problems from using are gone. You know, all the dramatic situations are gone. I'm just a sober guy working at a car dealership, you know, and I'm really uncomfortable internally. And this guy Mark is just, he's talking about it, and he's laying out this pro right out of the book, these things you can do that will start to work on that. You know what I mean? And over time, it was this path that I could follow that really did alleviate a lot of the internal condition. It's not like this shit just goes away, but it does diminish over time. And there's periods where it's really bad, and there's periods where it seems really good, followed by periods where it's really bad, you know. So this guy Scott came down. We found out he was sponsored by this Mark guy, and we got him to come speak, and he came and he spoke, and then, you know, I asked him to sponsor me. And, you know, kind of a lot of things happened, but I went through the steps in a new way, and I started kind of following a lot of the 10th and 11th. I had a new experience with inventory, and I agree with Danielle. To me, that was the game changer. You know, it's like the first time I get to see that I'm responsible for all of this, period. You know? And I didn't understand it then, but the truth is, when I can be responsible for something, I can be free of something. I still have it happen. I had it happen today. Something I was super resentful about with someone at work, and I was bitching and moaning about it. And somebody who's not in recovery and not spiritual in the least bit got me to see it from a different perspective, which was humbling. But also, it's like the second I can see like where I'm looking at this in the wrong way, then I know it's possible to change. I don't have to rely on you to change, you know, which is worthless. I can just look internally, and that's where the real freedom and the real answer is. So, I mean, even that happened today, but I think the first time was going through this inventory, while I was going through the steps with Scott and this other group of people. And I just, like Alec was saying, I got to know myself a lot better in that. You know, I got to kind of see under the covers of what's going on. And I got to see all these other kind of different parts of my character, and how they were bleeding into my life. And, you know, the truth is, I want to be a victim. I don't want to take responsibility because I can just get high. That's what it comes down to. If it's not my fault that all this shit happened to me, then, you know, I'm a victim the rest of my life. I can just play this card, you know, and I get to get high, which is what I want. So finally being able to take responsibility for that was huge. I started getting into meditation. I just kind of entered this new realm for a while. I totally caught fire with the program, and I made it a little over 2 years, which really isn't that long, but I think my head got too high up in the clouds. I honestly don't know. You know, it's kind of the peculiar mental twist, but I don't really know what happened. But I kind of got hooked on this idea that, you know, I was mainly a drug addict. You know, I had gotten hooked up with a higher power. I had found this new way of living. And as long as I continue to live this way, I'll be able to drink and be able to control it. You know, and I believed it, and I was obsessed, and I dissected the book, and I found all these loopholes, you know, and I, like, disqualified myself for whatever reason. I started picking apart my story, and I came up with this, you know, really elaborate thing in my mind. But it's the obsession. I was hooked. There was nothing I could do. And really, I mean, Scott sat me down one day, and he's like, well, you know, there's nothing left for you to do except go drink, you know, and I did. And I remember, you know, I drank on my first beer, I drank half of it, or, you know, most of it, and then I just poured out the rest. And I was like, see, perfect, you know, I'm good. And which is kind of silly, but it just kind of seemed real. But to an extent, that kind of thinking stayed with me for 5 years. I was in school. I got into school while I was sober, and I'd, like, for the first time, was doing well in school. And I think that was a big one. I kept that up all the way through school, and I kept making good grades, and I felt like, you know, you couldn't be an alcoholic and make good grades like I was. You know, you couldn't make good grades, work a job, you know, all that. You couldn't spin all these plates and still make it, you know, not collapse if you were a real alcoholic. And so I kind of kept that going for a long time. But the drinking really got severe. And, you know, I mean, I'd wake up and start drinking, and it just, there really wasn't, it's like I never, it's just whatever my mind thought would just kind of happen. And I was a valet, so I had to park cars, which is an awful job if you're a drunk, right? But that was what I did because it paid well and it worked while I was in school. And so I'd get drunk before work, and I'd go to work, and it would be awful. You know, I mean, it'd be absolutely miserable. And I'd be like, I'm not going to do that again. You know, and I'd wake up the next day, and I'd be like, yeah, that was awful. I'm not going to do that again. But I didn't have to be to work till 5 p.m. You know, that's a long time to be at home without drinking. So, you know, the booze was always downstairs, and I just remember, like, I'd be going downstairs, and I'd have the thought, like, oh, well, you could just have a couple shots right now, and then you'd have, you know, you could have time to sober up. And then it was always like this little push-pull, and I'd say, no, it's an awful idea. I just did that last night, and I'm not, you know, I'm not going to do that again. But then I come back down the stairs again, and it's a whole new set of thoughts. Like, the first one never happened, and so this is just my life every single day for years. And sometimes, you know, most times I give in, you know, I get drunk, I go to work, and it's awful. Sometimes I don't, you know, but the, I mean, that's this thing. That's what it is. I can't see it. And it just, you know, the thought comes, and it's not that I have to get drunk every single time the thought comes. It's not like I go to the bar every single time and I black out. Although at the end it looked that way. Like, I think people get stuck on kind of all these little issues. It's like, I don't have power of choice and I don't have control. That's what an alcoholic is. You know, I used to think it was all this dramatic stuff that happened to people that drank or that happened while I was using. And you're not an alcoholic if you didn't go through all this stuff. It's like, no, that's what it was. And it, I couldn't admit that for, you know, 5 years. I found my true home was this pool hall that was like a mile from my house. And I probably went there 6 days a week for 3 years. Maybe 7 days a week for 3 years, no kidding. Now it was like and time just like went by. You know, every day's the same for the most part. I'm going to school, I'm working, I get off. This place is open until 2 a.m. I got a pocket full of money from work. I go in there, you know, get hammered, play pool. And some part of that was actually really nice. But the alcohol just had more and more of a toll on my body. It just kind of, the blackouts were getting sooner. I was kind of just becoming a mess. And it would get to the point where I just couldn't go out. You know, I remember like the first, I used to go to Buckhead every once in a while because people would want me to go down there. And then I got too drunk and I wrecked my car on the way home, you know, and fell asleep at the wheel and hit the guardrail, woke up, made it all the way home, didn't remember it, thought it was a dream, except that my car was all fucked up. So I was like, well, I can't go to Buckhead anymore, you know. And so Mazzy's is a mile from down the road. You know, I drove drunk every single night. I never got pulled over. I never got a DUI. I've never had a DUI, ever. I don't know. It's just like, I don't know that I was lucky or what, but I just kind of kept going, and it kept fueling the story in my mind that I'm doing it, you know, and I'm just going to get out of school. I'm going to hit it big, you know, like just all this kind of fantasy. And I did. I got out of school. I had great grades. I got a job that I really wanted. And at this time is when I met Danielle too. So, you know, she's in treatment, and you know, I think, oh, this is great. You know, like, I've liked her for a long time, but it's like I was just in a reality where I don't know, but we met, which ended up being a great thing in the long run, like in the really long run, like, you know, years later. But we were together for a while I was kind of in the state of my drinking where it had just gotten really bad. And it had been bad for a long time, but it's like I couldn't go out anymore. I just drank at home. You know, my body was starting to really suffer from how much I was drinking. And I was getting, it just wasn't working either. I wasn't getting any real relief. I was just having more and more suffering, and it was becoming more and more apparent of what was going on. And you know, so she was a junkie also, and I had been a junkie, and I hadn't used this whole time, except maybe like a couple different nights that I hardly remembered. So it was, you know, I had, who knows? I really don't know. You know, I think it may have just been one or two nights, but it wasn't like I had any sort of habit going on or anything. But the thing with alcohol that's different for me, and I think most people, is that it's a much slower decline, but it's deceiving because you still decline and you still end up really low. You know, so when I start shooting dope, it's just, you know, it's 2 months and shit's fucked up, you know, clearly. Alcohol, it's, you know, 5 years of drinking heavily every day, you know, and I still think like, dude, I'm working at this hedge fund. I'm going to be rich in like a year probably, you know, like I've got all these ideas that it's like, I think I got it still. And I've been sober for years and sponsored people. Like I know what an addict and an alcoholic is, but I don't think I'm one. You know what I mean? It's like my definition keeps changing. It's just like when I was a kid, you know, like an addict is someone who does that. And then I do that. And I'm like, well, you know, an addict is someone who does that. And then I do that. And it's just always, you know, that's the mind, you know, and this is where everyone lives. This is where everyone that lives before they get here. And if they're lucky, they have an experience where they wake up. I was lucky I'd already had that experience, but clearly fallen back to sleep. I would try to get sober. I'd go to a meeting, I'd be dead serious, you know, pick up a chip, doing it, you know, made it. And it would always be, you know, 0 to 3 days that I would make it with alcohol. It was like I'd go to the meeting because I was suffering, but it wasn't because I had all this crazy drama and I just fucked up. Like I didn't just lose everything and now here I'm at the meeting getting sober. It was like I still had everything. I just was broken. And I show up and I get it and I'm serious, and then the guy gets a 10-year chip, gives me his 10-year chip, you know, and like all that. And I don't know, that I mean, I probably did that 10 times or so this last time. But with alcohol, it was just like I'd just be driving home and I'd get a thought that I was just going to pick up some beer. And it's just beer. I'm just going into the gas station to get beer. There's nothing wrong with that. Like, there's no, like, red flags. I'm not driving down to the bluff. I'm not, like, there's, like, I'm just pulling into this gas station and I'm getting beer. And then all of a sudden I'm drinking again and it's like nothing ever happened. I never tried. I don't know that I ever thought about it. It's like, I have no idea how many times that happened. Because that was just what would happen. It's like my mind would completely forget what was going on, and it would just do what it always did, and it was just that simple. So like Danielle and I get together, and I catch her doing dope. I don't know if she remembers the story correctly, but I catch her doing dope, and I'm like, fuck that, you know, like this no, you know, I'm not going. I know what happens when I do dope. 2 months, you know, I know where it's going to end up. So we like go through this whole thing, you know, and I'm like, I'm not doing it. You know, I want to get sober. Why don't we, you know, start going to meetings, blah, blah, blah. Like something in me is trying. And the thing that finally got me was like, well, let's just do it one time and then we'll get sober tomorrow. Right. And I was like, well, actually, you know, that might work. You know, if we just do it the one time and get sober tomorrow, then we don't have to go through the 2 months. And that's what happened. I mean, and then it was like, well, let's just get high today and then we'll get sober tomorrow, you know, and it just kept on going down that way till everything was on fire. So I that was just the nail in the coffin. You know, I was already empty. There was just, before that, there was nothing left in me. And then all that happened. So I was just done. And I was doing, like, so we ended up getting on methadone, which was a terrible idea. I was only on it for not very long, you know, a month, 2 months, and it was still brutal. I had to go to detox for 10 nights. And the pain was good, though. I don't like feeling any pain now, but then, like, if I'm not in pain when I get here, I'm not going to do anything. If the thought of coming up to you and asking you for help hurts less, or, you know, hurts more than the pain that I got, or I may have just mixed that up, but I won't do it. You know, if I'm in a lot of pain, I'll go and talk to everybody. And like, okay, you want me to go talk to them? Sure. And I'm like doing it, you know, and I luckily I knew who to go to. I still had this group of friends that I just came here. And I worked the steps. And I remember, I mean, I was severely depressed. I was suicidal. I was in that space. You know, I was in that space again. But I remember I started bringing a meeting to the detox center that I went to, a different location, 2 months after I got sober. It took 2 months to see the light at the end of the tunnel again, you know, to have the hope back. You know, and I didn't do anything special. You know, I just came in here, I got a sponsor, I worked the steps. You know, I really think it is. It's, you find, like, alcohol or drugs beats you into a state where you're reasonable. And you're willing to do something that doesn't make sense to you. And from that space, this is what can happen. I think that for me, although I gain and lose some of that, I'm still in that space. You know, and like today when my partner was telling me, you know, how I was wrong about what I was upset about, you know, it's that part of me is like happy to hear it. It's happy to know, like, oh, I'm doing something wrong here. And that was created by the alcohol. That was created by the heroin and cocaine. I don't have that. That's not a natural thing for me. That was a surrender experience that is still with me. I go through the steps about every year. I don't know. It's just a tool now. So instead of, you know, like Alex said, when things start getting really shitty, you know, I'll go through the steps, I'll write an inventory, I'll look at what I'm doing, I'll get people's insight on what's going on, I'll get their perspective. It's just kind of like a habit now. It's just what I do. And it's a wonderful way to live. I was always trying to defend everything. I was always trying to be right about everything, and none of it mattered. I think another huge shift for me has been, you know, kind of my idea of what I want. You know, I was so driven by money or by things or by cars or by, you know, really attractive women. I'm still driven by that one, clearly. As I've been sober, I started to question, you know, why am I doing the things I'm doing? Why do I want all this money? Why do I want all this stuff? Why do I, you know, why? I guess you kind of, like, it's just a natural thing. I just kind of question it. And I've had all these lifelong belief systems just fall to the side. And I realized that this whole time I've just wanted peace of mind. I've just wanted to be able to sit with you or wherever and just be okay with whatever, you know. I want to be able to just sit down and enjoy the moment and not have my mind totally consumed with something. So for me, a big part of that's been meditation, which I've struggled with off and on for, you know, I guess 12 years. And I've been pretty consistent for a while now, and I found that it just, you know, I don't think anything really goes away, but it definitely just settles. So, like, I used to get super nervous to speak, and not to say I didn't get nervous for this, but it would just, I would be stressed, and then it would consume my mind, and I would just think about, holy shit, I gotta get up there and speak, and it's just, my mind is just high strung. And so this, leading up to this week, I was kind of noticing the difference, and the difference was that my mind wasn't going crazy about anything, but I could still kind of feel the stress. And I think that the meditation, one, it kind of quiets the mind, but it, two, gives you this perspective into kind of what's going on inside of you. So as I'm going through the week, especially today, yesterday, I could see that things at work were bothering me more, that, you know, this assistant I have is just being a dickhead all the time, and it's just, I feel so wronged. Or Danielle, like, I can, like, watch the mind, it's in a sort of a fearful, uneasy place, and it starts creating these resentments. And with the space, when I'm not totally kind of consumed, it's like I can just kind of watch it happen, and it's not that it just goes away, and it's not that I just feel great, and it's not that the stress of having to come speak or go to work and do, you know, do something, do a difficult task, it's not that that goes away, but it's just that it doesn't consume me. And it's not to say that I don't get totally consumed sometimes. So I guess what I'm saying is that I always thought that the path of having all this stuff was going to be what I wanted, and I found that the path of not having any stuff is really what I wanted. You know, I don't want any stuff up here. And so it's like I start to look at things of, well, how's that going to contribute to my peace of mind? Is this kind of conducive? Or, you know, why am I building all this shit into my schedule? Why am I going on all these different kicks? Which I still do, because that's just who I am. But it's been so interesting to witness it, and just kind of, and it's been interesting to have a partner that kind of walks this path with you. And I tell you what, I've learned more from Danielle than any person on the planet. And it's not even close, because she's just a mirror, you know. And I don't see that it's me in the mirror. I see that it's her, and that she's just wrong, and that she's doing all this shit. And over time, I don't know. It has forced me to overcome things that I didn't think were possible, to let go. And I'm not saying I just like let go of them. They just have kind of gone away. Some of them are still there, you know. But it's just interesting. It's just this program. And like I said, it's like you get put on this path, and the path goes way past the steps. This is all the steps. It's all the steps. I start to maybe explore the steps further, but everything that I'm going through and I'm learning is what the steps gave me, this kind of this platform to go through life with. And the aspect of sharing that with other people, to me, it's just so incredibly important. I probably do that better than most things that I do. Not that I'm great at it, but it just, I don't know, it kind of got ingrained in me to do it, and I just kind of go with the flow, and it seems to just keep coming my way. But when I'm sitting there with someone who I'm sponsoring, and we're talking about whatever, it's just our lives are the same. And you can't help but just see your experience and their experience and how you're going through the same stuff, right? And as you're trying to help someone see their experience, you're using your own current experience, and it just connects you to reality, you know, to what's really going on. and you know, comparing notes with people, it's just amazing that we could be in totally different stages of life, but we're experiencing life and the difficulties in the same way, because it's just, we're just human. You know, we just act irrationally. We do stupid things. We have these, you know, character traits or defects or whatever. They get in the way and they cause us to do all this shit, but it's like everybody's got it. Nobody's different. You know, we're all the same, clearly. You know, it's just, it really is that simple. And I think I've just started to wake up from the trance I was in for so long of what I thought life was and what I thought I wanted and what makes you happy. And I guess when I say reality, I mean God. That is God to me. God is here, now, existence, reality, truth, whatever. So anytime I'm in that or experiencing that or kind of aware of that, that's where I am. So the things that bring me closer to that have all been the steps, because the steps take me out of my head up here. It puts me, it makes me look inside, and then it makes me think of people outside. That's all I got. Thank you.